We all know what a microphone is, and we all know what a microphone does, but not many of us think about what the true power of a microphone is. A microphone can both literally and figuratively amplify voices. It can be used to spread a passionate message, whether it be good or evil. Not every important figure in our time used or uses one, but most have, and someone who knew the true meaning of speech and sound extremely well is Martin Luther King Jr. So, how do you set an example for how sound, speech, and words can be used? Hi, my name is Andy Ace of KBPS Portland, and that's what I'm here to talk about.
All in favor, let it be known by standing on your feet.
I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country.
Martin Luther King Jr. was born to Martin Luther King Sr. and Alberta Williams King on January 15, 1929, in Atlanta, Georgia. Later on in his life, he became the leader of Ebenezer Baptist Church, following in the footsteps of his father, Martin Luther King Sr., and beginning in the early 50s, he joined the beginnings of the Civil Rights Movement, such as participating in organizing multiple marches in the name of civil rights, and even joining the well-known 1955 Montgomery bus boycott.
All in favor, let it be known by standing on your feet.
But his work didn't stop there. Going into the 1960s, the fight continued, leading to the 1963 March on Washington, and his famous I Have a Dream speech, making a name for nonviolent protesting.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation.
And beginning a year later, in 1964, the Civil Rights Movement officially began, followed by the Voting Rights Act of 1965 and the Fair Housing Act of 1968. And despite his label from the FBI as a radical and his multiple arrests, he received the Nobel Peace Prize in 1964. But unfortunately, his passion led to his death on the night of April 4th, 1968. From his room in the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee, shortly after his lesser-known I've Been to the Mountains speech, he and his entourage were booked in room 306, and Martin went to stand on the balcony, only to be assassinated by who would later be found to be James Earl Ray.
Dan Rather, reporting for CBS News from New York. The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. was shot to death by an assassin late today as he stood on a balcony in Memphis, Tennessee.
While King's life wasn't exactly long, he still left an extreme impact and influence on today. Even if there are still those who go against what King and so many others like him stood for, there's no doubt that his passion and perseverance run through many today. And that really shows the power of words, passion, and a simple microphone. While action is a vital and very necessary aspect of true change, words are just as necessary, and they hold power so long as you give them meaning. Because so long as you are living, you have thoughts, and many ways to get those thoughts across. Once again, this is Andy Ace of KBPS Portland. Thank you for listening.
America is essentially a dream. It is a dream of a land where men of all races.
As today is the day we celebrate the life of Dr. Martin Luther King, and with the unrest and violence all throughout our country, we believe it's important to look at history and take his lessons to heart.
But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right.
Dr. Martin Luther King is a man who has shaped not just civil rights, but the very way we protest against injustice. Martin was raised in a Black Christian household where he witnessed a lot of discrimination against many Black individuals around his neighborhood. Over the years of his life, he became more disgusted by the discrimination and would always want to have a better future for everybody. And this fueled his desire to improve the country and make everyone truly equal. And that is partly why, throughout most of his time, you'll notice that he has pushed for peaceful protests constantly, never wanting his protesters to ever resort to violence, because that would go against what he stood for. He was also very much opposed to the Vietnam War for that reason, and he spoke at a rally about it at the University of Minnesota in St. Paul on April 27th, 1967. I believe this protest is a clear example of his distaste for violence and how he always wanted everything to be peaceful.
And just as Martin Luther King fought for the rights of the many, we are currently at a point where we need to fight for the rights of many. Right now, ICE has been acting violent towards people protesting against their activities, and most of them have ended up getting tear gassed. And a total of 32 people have died in ICE custody, and ICE is holding 68,440 people, and 70% of them have no criminal convictions.
That the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who, in a period of moral crisis, maintain their neutrality. There comes a time when silence is betrayal.
Many of us have been feeling scared, not just for ourselves, but for our families. But we can't hide. We need to do what we can. I am Latino. I get scared when I see a black van or any unidentified marked car. But I have lived in the United States my whole life, and I refuse to accept the idea that the government has the right to take people by force without a trial or even a warrant. We need to stand up for ourselves, not just for the future of our country, but also for the future of the history books and articles, so that we can know that we were on the right side of history. The best thing you can do is report ICE sightings to the Portland Immigration Rights Coalition. That's the Portland Immigration Rights Coalition, 1-888-622-1510. That's 888-622-1510.
This has been Jeff and Louis with the KBPS student staff. Thank you all for listening.
15 years. That's how long it took for MLK Day to become a national holiday. I'm sure you know about the 13 years that Martin Luther King Jr. led the American Civil Rights Movement.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
But did you know about the 15-year campaign that came after the death of MLK to give the civil rights icon a national holiday in his honor? MLK Day is a large part of celebrating the memory of Martin Luther King Jr. and the massive impact he had on civil rights in the United States. From the weekend-long celebrations in Atlanta to simply learning about our country's history, people spent MLK Day in many different ways. But MLK Day didn't just start the day after Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. No, it took years of work, millions of people, and the power of music to get it signed and made into a national holiday. The journey to commemorating Martin Luther King Jr. with a national holiday started quickly after his assassination, though it wasn't quite the day after. It was, in fact, 4 days after his murder when Representative John Poyers and Senator Edward Brooke proposed a bill to Congress. The bill was to make Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday a national holiday. Though the bill didn't pass, John Poyers would start reintroducing the legislation every year. 9 years later, in 1979, on what would have been King's 50th birthday, with testimonials from Mrs. King, President Jimmy Carter backing it, and 300,000 signatures supporting the legislation, the bill came to a vote in the House. But unfortunately, it lost by 5 points. But that wouldn't be the end of MLK Day, as I'm sure you can figure out. People still wanted the bill, and that included musician Stevie Wonder. Soon, Wonder would release a song igniting more support for MLK Day than ever. This song would be Happy Birthday from his 1980 album, Hotter Than July. Happy Birthday would serve as Stevie Wonder's way of promoting Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday becoming a national holiday. and it would succeed at just that. But Wonder didn't just make the song, though Happy Birthday did help in a massive way. Stevie Wonder also hosted the 1981 Rally for Peace press conference. Now, after the help of Stevie Wonder, the bill found itself back on the House floor, but this time having a huge 6 million signature petition behind it. The bill passed the House easily, a vote of 338-90, not even close. When it reached the Senate, though, it had more pushback, with North Carolina Senator Jesse Helms going as far as hosting a filibuster and submitting a 300-page document accusing King of having communist associations. New York Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan was not having it, though. He called the document a packet of filth, threw it on the Senate floor, then stomped on it. After 15 years of campaigning for MLK Day to be a national holiday, on November 2nd, 1983, President Ronald Reagan signed the bill into law, though reluctantly.
I would have preferred that, but since they seem bent on making it a national holiday, I believe the symbolism of that day is important enough that I'll sign that legislation when it reaches my desk.
Even though MLK Day was a national holiday, not all the states recognized it yet. In fact, it would be an additional 17 years before every state had a holiday for Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. Now, all these years later, the efforts of Coretta Scott King, Representative John Coyers, and Senator Edward Brooke, Stevie Wonder, and of course, Martin Luther King Jr., the holiday is celebrated with more enthusiasm than ever. I feel that this story shows how a message with a microphone can make real change in the world. Even just one day to celebrate someone who made great change can help people remember that change and appreciate it. I'm Grady, and thank you for listening. And for remembrance.
Martin Luther King Jr. was one of the most iconic leaders of the civil rights movement. He brought about change that advanced civil rights for millions of Black Americans.
But his power to change the world wasn't just about what he was saying, it was about how he was saying it. MLK was one of the greatest public speakers in history, using strong communication skills to get his message across.
I have a dream!
Dr. King was great at finding common ground. He didn't just speak to his supporters, but to the entire nation as a whole.
In the 1960s, when Dr. King was giving his most famous speeches, over 90% of America identified as Christian. Being a Baptist minister, he was able to connect to them directly, and he often used religious allusions which appealed directly to his audience.
I'm in Birmingham because injustice is here. Just as the prophets of the century BC left their villages and carried there, thus saith the Lord. And just as the Apostle Paul left his village of Tarsus and carried the gospel of Jesus Christ to the four corners of the Greco-Roman world, so am I compelled to carry the gospel of freedom.
In a letter from a Birmingham jail, he drew parallels between the civil rights movement and the struggles of persecuted early Christians. This was an especially strong choice as the letter was written directly to a group of white clergy who had criticized Dr. King's methods. And in I've Been to the Mountaintop, he talks of the Promised Land.
I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over and I've seen the Promised Land.
The Promised Land is a phrase referring to the land promised to the descendants of Abraham in the Bible. I think Dr. King compared the freedoms and rights Black Americans have been promised in the Constitution to the land that Abraham's descendants had been promised by God.
He also made connections to history by quoting the Declaration of Independence and the Emancipation Proclamation right on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. He framed civil rights as not a new demand, but as a fulfillment of American values.
50 years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation.
He even made his connection personal, connecting his goals to him being a father and his family.
I have a dream. My poor little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream.
Beyond the words he was saying, MLK's voice was also very important. He used a style common in preaching in black churches, starting slow, like you're having a conversation with him. But as he spoke, he picked up the pace, getting faster and more intense, drawing the audience in. Dr. King also mastered repetition. He'd say lines like, "I have a dream," or "Let freedom ring," over and over again, which made his message stick and impossible to forget.
From every mountainside, let freedom ring, and if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening...
Finally, Dr. King's communication was fueled by courage. You can hear it in his voice. He wasn't just reading a script. He was speaking something he genuinely believed and was passionate about. He took definitive stances when it was dangerous to do so, and that confidence resonated with his audience. In his final speech, "I've Been to the Mountaintop," given the night before he was assassinated, Dr. King spoke about his own mortality. He said he wasn't afraid. That kind of authenticity creates a connection that no amount of polished speechwriting can.
So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Dr. King's legacy proves that while ideas are the spark, communication is the fuel. He took the technology of his time, the radio and the microphone, and used it to broadcast his vision of a better future. He showed that when you combine a powerful message with the skills of connection, cadence, and courage, you don't just reach ears, you change the world.
We will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last."